Okay, so tonight is part three of our limud of the Ramban's famous letter to his son, and I want to actually share my favorite part of the letter. I guess we'll begin by reading. We'll read through the last section of the letter just to be mashal in the inyan to complete the whole topic, and then I really want to just focus on one line in the letter, which I think can be really life changing if a person works on it. First week we spoke about talking nicely to people. Last week we spoke about humility, which was really a continuation of that gentle speech that we spoke about. But tonight I want to focus on one line. So I'm going to read you the last section of the letter. I'm not going to tell you which line it is. And then we'll come back and you'll tell me which line you think it is. The Ramban concludes his letter, "V'havizor likros b'torah tamid." After he tells them the importance of being friendly to people, being nice to people, and being humble, a person should study Torah at all times. Asher tucha l'kaima. To do whatever you can, to be makayim the words of the Torah. When you get up from your learning, you should investigate that which you learned. To think, is there something that I can apply from this learning to my life? And make a cheshbon and nefesh in the morning and in the evening. And in that way, you'll spend your entire life involved in tshuva, because you'll constantly be thinking about what I need to work on. And remove any thoughts that you might have of worldly matters when you're davening. And prepare your heart that when you daven, you're not worrying about your businesses, and you're not worried about your taxes, and you're not worried about whether your team's going to win on Sunday. That all your focus is geared towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'taher rayonecha, and purify your thoughts. And think about the words before they emanate from your mouth. Which is actually really good advice. If you think about the words you're about to say before you said them, it would also go a long way. This is how you should spend all of your very frail existence in this world. You won't do any averos. And this way, all of your thoughts and all of your speech and all of your actions will be pure and will be straightforward. And your tefillah will be pure and refined and clean. And then Hashem will listen to your tefillos. Shenemar tochen libam, prepare your heart, takshiv aznecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen. And he concludes his letter to his son with a beautiful plea. Tikra higeres hazos pamachas b'shvua, v'lo tifchos. Read this letter at least once a week. L'kaima v'lelechas batamit, to fulfill its words and to live by its messages constantly. And that way you'll always follow after Hashem Yisbarach. L'man tatzliach b'chol derachecha, to be successful in all of your ways. V'sizke lo'olam haba hatzofen letzadikim, you'll be amongst those tzadikim who have a portion in the world to come. U'v'chol yom shetikrana, and any day that you read the letter, a promise from the Ramban, ya'anucha min hashamayim, it's a segula. If a person reads this letter, and then tries to apply it and davens over these words, ya'anucha min hashamayim kasher yala libcha l'shol, HaKadosh Baruch will grant all of your heart's desires, ad olam forever and forever, amen selah. I want to focus on the line that I began this whole passage with. Kasher tokum min ha-sefer, that when you get up from your learning, when you finish learning something, techapis ba'asher limadata. Forget the broader cheshbon and nefesh that he talks about every morning and every night. How about I just came to a shir? Right? So what did I learn? And what am I going to do about it? How am I going to apply it to my life? We've been learning the words of the Ramban, and they're very nice, they're beautiful. But to what degree do I apply it to my life? Kasher tokum min ha-sefer, when you close your books, and you stand up out of your seat, techapes ba'asher lamadata. Investigate. Techapes. To really search. B'dikas chametz. To search it carefully. Im yesh bo davar asher tucha l'kaima. Is there something that I can apply to my life right away? Not to wait for the message to sink in passively, but to actively ask myself, I just finished learning. I'm learning daf yomi. And I learned the daf of Maseches Makos today. Right? So, interesting ideas. Torah Hashem, mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But what does that do with my life? I read the story of Sarah, or I reflect on the death of Sarah in this week's Parsha. No, so what do I do with it? How does it speak to me? Because you're talking about a savior. The second you get up, you have to ask yourself, what was the point? Why did I trouble myself to come out on a Thursday night when I could have been baking challah, or I could have been shopping, or I could have been playing basketball with my chaverim? I could have been doing a lot of other things tonight. So why did I come to this year? I came to this year because I want to be changed. So says the Ramban, if you want to be changed, when you get up from learning, you have to say, okay, so there were a lot of ideas, but let me pick something to work on. And how ironic it would be if we ended tonight's shiur and we didn't take something from the shiur to apply to our life, since that's what we're talking about. So let's try to understand a little more deeply this idea. Rav Avigdor Nevinsal Shlita in Eretz Yisrael, one of the Gedolei Yisrael in Yerushalayim, Rav Nevinsal has many volumes on Chumash. So in his volume on Sefer Shemos, in Maimer Vav, in the sixth essay, in Parshas Ve'era, he says a very, very sharp insight. He says the following. Let's remember the story, the tragic story of Yirmiyahu and Yoshiyahu. Now, if you don't remember it from Tanakh, you might remember it from the Kina Yud Aleph on Tisha B'Av, Vayikone Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu. That Yirmiyahu lamented how foolish Yoshiyahu was, how sad it was. And in his innocence, Yoshiyahu did not take to heart the messages of Yirmiyahu and Navi. Yirmiyahu is a very sad story. Yirmiyahu is begging Klal Yisrael, begging the leaders, trying to do something, right, to get people to wake up to the Churban that's right around the corner. And Yoshiyahu, in his innocence, doesn't believe that Klal Yisrael are as bad as they are. And Yirmiyahu says, I'm telling you, they have Avodah Zarah. And Yoshiyahu says, no, there's no Avodah Zarah. He's sending out Mashkichim to check. There's no Avodah Zarah. I checked the homes. And Yirmiyahu is saying, I'm telling you, there's Avodah Zarah. Yirmiyahu is battling against people who don't want to accept reality. Yirmiyahu is battling against Nevi'ei Sheker. You know how scary that concept of a Nevi'ei Sheker is? That you have other people going around saying in the name of God that everything's fine, nothing's going to happen, and Yirmiyahu is fighting against that. He's trying to prove. He ends up in jail. He ends up in the dungeon. So Yirmiyahu is really, it's a very sad story. And Yoshiyahu doesn't accept the reality because he wants to believe that Klal Yisrael are better than they are. And of course, the very tragic words of the Kina, they pierced him with, they made him like a sieve, riddled with holes from all the arrows of the enemies, because he refused to, he thought he had the protection of the Torah. The Torah says that when you act in the proper way, there will be no warfare in your midst. So he thinks that I'm prepared to, and we'll be successful. If we have to battle, we'll be successful. And Yirmiyahu says, I'm telling you, power necho is going to come through, and you're in big trouble. You don't have the protection. I'm telling you, there's Avodah Zarah, and he won't accept it. So what did Chazal say about the Avodah Zarah? He was sending out Mashkich, and he sent people around to try to find, and there was no Avodah Zarah. Where was the Avodah Zarah? So Chazal say, it was behind the doors. They had their Avodah Zarahs either hanging from the back of the door, etched into the door, so much so that when the Mashkiach would come to check the house, he would swing open the door, right? A surprise visit, the IRS comes knocking. Yeah, knocks on the door, swings open the door, looks around, under the bed, no Avodah Zarah. Little did he realize that when you'd close the door, on the back of the door was the Getchko, was the Avodah Zarah, cart, and they'd immediately you know, start worshipping the Avodah Zarah behind the door. That's what Chazal described. So it says Rav Nevinsal, again in his writings on Parshas Va'era, not Va'era, Va'era, he says, what, everyone was able to trick? They couldn't catch one guy? Right? What's this idea that when the doors are open, there's no Avodah Zarah? When they close the door, then the Avodah Zarah is back. So Nevinsal says, B'derach Drush, I'll tell you what I think Chazal are hinting to. He says, what Chazal perhaps are hinting to is the following. Shekeshahayu medabrim aleim divrei tochacha u'musar. There are certain people that as long as they're in the middle of the shir, when the words of tocha and musar are being spoken, in the moment when the mashkiach is there and he's watching, when the doors are open, says Rav Nevinsal, tzuras ha'avodah zarah sha'al deles libam. The avodah zarah that is here, the ultimate avodah zarah, the Yetzirah, but when the doors are open, when I'm sitting in the shir, when someone's giving me musar and tochacha, when I'm learning the sefer, in that moment, the ideas are, I'm living with it. It's happening. Haisa achein nekras. The avodah zarah was ripped out. So when the doors of the heart are open, there's no avodah zarah. But unfortunately, the reality is, says Rav Nevinsal, shortly thereafter, the door closes. And the second that door closes, the avodah zarah is right back. Because if a person doesn't seize that moment when the heart was open to acquire whatever it is, was hopefully being studied, what was being learned, that's what Ramban's talking about. Kasher tokum and a sefer. When the book's open, it's easy to make the right choices. If right now the Yitzhara says, come, let's go do it. No way, I'm sitting here, I'm learning the sugya of not to listen to the Yitzhara. But when the book is closed, or when the heart is closed, berega shadalsos halef, hayu niftachos ma'at l'davar shebekedusha. When the heart was open just a little bit for davar shebekedusha, says Rav Nevinsal, the avodah zarah is gone. Ava berega shahalach hamashkiach, but when Yoshiyahu's assistants came checking, and the second they left, the second the book was closed. Says Rav Nevinsal, Azai Amnam Shamu Shir Yafa Behilchas Avodah Zarah. You just listened to a beautiful shir about Avodah Zarah. The Mashkiach came in and he said, you sure there's no Avodah Zarah? No, there's no Avodah Zarah here. In that moment, they were committed to getting rid of the Avodah Zarah. V'afilu hishtatu b'shir v'amru svara tova. And they were, even if it was an interactive shir, and you gave explanations, the person in the audience said, yes, I'll tell you why Avodah Zarah is bad. But that same person, the second later, the door closes. And immediately he goes back to his old ways. Deles halev niskara. When the door of the heart slams shut, v'tzuras ha'avodah zarah chazra l'shlemusa. And the Avodah Zarah is right back in his place. how quickly people change if we don't work to absorb the messages that we're learning. Rav Nevenzahl goes on and he says, I'll bring you a proof in halacha that this is true. The Rambam, and again, we're learning Maseches Makos, those who learn Daf Yomi, I'm not personally learning Daf Yomi, but those who learn Daf Yomi are learning Maseches Makos now. Maseches Makos describes, the Mishnah says, that a Beis Din that kills once in 7 years, or maybe once in 70 years, Chazal say, such a Beis Din is a bloody Beis Din. We look to leave things in a Kodesh, let Hashem do the punishing. But if a person is warned, and a person carries out the crime, then the person can be executed by Beis Din. But says the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Rav Nevenzahl quotes it here, when does the hasara, when does the warning need to be delivered? Toch kedei dibur, it has to be given within like almost a 3 second span of the action. The guy is standing there with the gun, about to shoot someone, and you say, excuse me, sir, I just need to speak to you for a moment. I just want you to know, if you kill that person, Basin's going to punish you. Basin's going to kill you. And he says, I don't care, and pulls the trigger. A second later. If it's toch kedei dibur, that's hasara. Klomar, says Rav Nevenzahl, samuch ma'od l'maisa avera. The warning has to be right alongside the avera itself. So says Rav Nevenzahl, and if it's 5 seconds, what? That's not hasara. If it's 7 seconds, that's not hasara. Tochid de dibur is shalom alecha, Rebbe, or maybe shalom alecha, Rebbe umori. The amount of time it takes to say that phrase. Hello, my rabbi. Shalom alecha, Rebbe. Or shalom alecha, Rebbe umori. It's a split second. So what? If you warn the guy 5 seconds ago, so what? He's going to come to court and say, you know what? He warned me, but I forgot. I couldn't remember. 5 seconds later, you couldn't remember? Is that why he's off the hook? So Nevinsal says, El Shabarega bo mazhira mesa'adam. At the moment the word of Hasra is being received, and it hits home, the person, at least for that moment, he gets it. For that split second, for that moment, the person gets it. He says, I understand the full extent of what murder is. And if he acts within that second, if he gets it and still acts, he's a murderer. And he's warned, and he's gonna face the full penalty. He'll be taken to court and he'll be dealt with to the full extent of the law, whatever Beis Din has their authority to do, to even execute. But if a few seconds go by and then he commits the murder, we believe, Chazal are telling us that in a couple of seconds, he doesn't really get it anymore. A few seconds later, not that he forgot, right? But look how quickly the Roshim, the imprint of the Hasra, don't commit that crime or else, look how quickly it dissipates. Cholef oso Roshim Rishoni, that original Roshim, that first moment when he really internalized that hasra, a second later is gone. Ein lo od osa yira, he doesn't have the yira shalema that he had in that moment. Shahaisa belibo b'shnia rishona. The second before, they warned him. But a second later, it's all gone. An amazing insight I saw from the Papa Rav from Montreal. Sefer is called Agura Ba'ohalecha, in Sefer Bereshis. He says that Avram standing at the Akedah. Avram gave up his whole life at the Akedah. He was prepared to give up everything. To give up Yitzchak. Waited 100 years for this child. And now 37 years later, he's ready to slaughter him. And he does the most unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh, and every possible element of the Nisayon was present. Vayaras Hamakom Mirachok, he felt far from Hashem. He was confused. It was optional. The Tzfasemah says that when Avram is told, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, how does the pasuk begin? Kach na es bincha. Please take your son. So Rashi says, please take your son. Hashem's not making it optional. Hashem's telling him, I know this is hard, so I'm asking you with words of encouragement, please. Tzfasemah says, no, Hashem was making it a choice. You realize how crazy that is? The Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, if you want to kill the son you waited 100 years for, I wouldn't mind. But if you don't want to, Rabbanu Shalom, just tell me I have to do it or tell me I don't have to do it. Don't give me that whole thing where like, I'll be a little disappointed. You don't have to, but I'll be a little disappointed. That's confusing. And Avraham knew Hashem wants him to do it. But there's a part of him that says, but I don't have to do this. And all of his madrigals were taken away from him, like the Svarim say, at the moment of a Nisayon, all of your previous levels are taken away from you, he's stripped bare. So he's very confused, it's a very scary moment. And he passes the test, and the Malach cries out from the heavens, Ati, Adati, now I know for sure that you're a Yare Elokim, that you're a God-fearing person. Avram, you are the ultimate level of Yirah Shamayim. You're a Yare Elokim, you've proved that you believe in God. But says the Papa Rav from Montreal, Ati Adati, now I know. But a second later, I don't know. Maybe a second later he'll be back to just being a regular guy. Now this is Avraham Avinu we're talking about. And yet the Malach says, for a moment, I trust you. For a moment, you've proven that you get it. But look how quickly we can not get it. Look how quickly we can forget everything that we learned. Someone came to the Kotzker Rebbe one time. The Kotzker was known, right, the Sarov Mikotsk, the fiery one from Kotsk. He's known for his very sharp lines. So someone came to the Kotzker, and he's trying to impress the Rebbe. So he says to the Kotzker, he says, Rebbe, I just want to let you know that I went through all of Shas. So the Kotzker says, that's so nice. How much of Shas went through you? How much of Shas went through you? It's nice that you sat there turning pages. That's beautiful. Right? But how much of Shas went through you? How much did you absorb? And that's what the Ramban is saying. Kasher Tokum and Asefer, it doesn't matter what you're learning. Musar, Machshava, Halacha, Tanakh, Gemara Bekiyas, Gemara Be'ian. It doesn't matter what you're learning. Whatever you're learning, you have to close the book and you have to stand up and you have to ask yourself, you have to pause for a second and say, what did I learn from this? Because a second later, it could be gone. It's true about Avraham Avinu and Al Achas Kama Vakama, it's 100% true about us. In Parshas Mishpatim, we learn about an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri, he's working for his master. Either he was forced to sell himself or he based and sold him, whatever exactly the case was. And he works for 6 years. And then in the seventh year, he goes free. At the end of 6 years, he goes free. What happens if he decides, I love my master so much, I just can't go. It's too geschmack here being a slave. I just can't go. An indentured servant. I can't let go of my master. Okay, so he's allowed to stay. It says the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, V'yigisho Adonav El Elohim, they take him to Beis Din. V'yigisho El Adelas, they take him over to the doorpost. O El Mezuzah. V'yirotza Adonav Es Azno B'Marzeya, and they pierce his ear with some type of instrument. Va'avado li'olam, and he serves his master forever. Which, of course, in this context, Chazal tell us, forever means until Yovel. So he became a slave for whatever left in the Yovel cycle. You know, maximum term, obviously, I guess 50 years, but it'll probably be less than that. But he serves his master for many more years. The six-year term has been extended until the Yovel year. And we pierce his ear. Why do we pierce his ear? And how do we know which ear to pierce? So Rashi comments as follows. Rashi says, first you need to know which ear you pierce. It says, Rashi, you pierced which ear? Hayimanis. You pierced the right ear. And why do you pierce the right ear? So Rashi says, the right ear, O eino elo smol. Maybe you pierce the left ear. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Ozen. The Pasuk says, ear. Where else do we have the word ear, right? Ozen in Tanakh. Rashi says, again, it's based on Chazal, right? Agzera Shava, Ozen, Ozen. Where else do we find the word Ozen? By the Mitzorah. The Kohen takes the blood and he places it on the Tunuch Ozen Hamitar Hayimanis. He places it on the right ear of the Mitzorah. So therefore, just like the Mitzorah, the ear over there meant the right ear, so too, by the Eved Ivri, the ear must mean the right ear. Gzeira Shava Ozen Ozen. Yeah. And then Rashi goes on, and Rashi says, and why do we pierce his ear? Because the ear that heard at Har Sinai, don't steal, and he stole, and he was sold into slavery. So pierce the ear that didn't understand the message. And if he sold himself, the ear that heard at Har Sinai, you're supposed to work for God, not for another human being. He didn't absorb the message in his ear, pierce his ear. Okay, ad kan the words of Rashi. Let's go back to the first point. Gzei Rashava, right ear, right ear. The Torah doesn't say which ear to pierce. If I were to ask you, as a Jew, based on all of your Jewish knowledge, without knowing this Gzei Rashava of Ozen Ozen, right, that we have to perform some type of avodah with either the right ear or the left ear, what would you guess? You'd say the right. We always favor the right. We always favor the right. Right? When a person puts on their jacket, they put the right arm in first. When you put on your shoe, you put the right shoe on first. When you wash your body, the halacha says you wash the right side of your body first. When you're standing, right, and figuring out how to hold your kiddush cup for kiddush, you hold it in your right hand, assuming that you're a righty. When you're holding the dalet minim, you hold three in one hand, the one in the other hand, right? Even though the esrog is so chashiv, but the right hand has most of the mitzvahs. The right is always favored in halacha. There was a tzaddik named the Rebbe of Heschel. The Rebbe of Heschel was the Rebbe of the Shach on Shulchan Aruch, the Sifsei Kohen. The Rebbe of Heschel was a gon atzum, a super duper genius, and a very creative thinker. And there's a small volume of his Torah is collected called Chanukah HaTorah. So in Parshas Mishpatim, in Os Peh Hei, he asked this question. Why do I need a Gezerah Shava to tell me right ear, right ear? You know why you pierce the right ear? Because you always do things on the right side. That's what Jews do. Jews favor the right side. The right side is the side of Chesed. The left side is the side of Din. Of course, we favor the right side. Why do I need a Gezerah Shava? Why would I have a Hava, Mina? Why would I have thought that maybe I should pierce the left ear? That's what he's really asking. So he says as follows. He says, and again, he has unbelievable bekiyas. He puts together very creative explanations. He says, you know why you might think to pierce the left ear? Because the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, on the words, Yishakeni Minashikos Pihu, the Medrash says the following. I don't know exactly what this means, but here are the words. Debishas Matan Torah, Hayahadibur Yotze Miyamino Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine, we're standing at Har Sinai face to face with God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us, so to speak, from the right side. His right side. Well, his right is my left. And therefore what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the words of Har Sinai emanated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right side, L'smolan shel Yisrael. Hashem spoke out of the right, and I guess his right is our left, so to speak, Hashem whispered, Yeshakeni Minashikos Piyo, right? The delicate kisses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whispers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispering in our ear at Har Sinai, Hashem whispered from his right side into our left side. So therefore, says the Rebbe of Heschel, since the words entered my left ear first, you might think that you should pierce the left ear. After all, the left ear was the first one to hear the Dvar Hashem and to not listen. Kamash Malan, we have a Gezerah Shava, Ozen, Ozen, just like the Ozen by the Metzor is the right ear, so too the Ozen by this Eved Ivri is also the right ear. Okay, very creative. Brings a Medrash to Shir Hashirim, none of us ever would have found in a million years. And he says that God spoke into our left ear, that's why we thought, that's why we have to work this out to figure out which ear should be pierced. But I want to go a half a step deeper. Because I want to understand why is the Rebbe of Heschel not correct? Meaning, why don't we pierce the left ear? If the left ear heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak at Har Sinai and rejected the Dvar Hashem, so shouldn't the left ear be the one to be punished? So I think you can answer this question with a story. There's a multi-volume set called Admorei Bells, biographical series on the Belzer Rebbes. And in the third volume, about the third Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Yisachar Dov of Belz, who passed away in 1926, it tells the following story. A chassid once came to the Belzer Rebbe, and the chassid decided, I have a new style. Now, by chassidim, every chassid, every different group has their style. Right? Some people have furrier hats, some people have less furry hats. Some people have furrier, you know, things around their neck, and some have less. Some have taller hats, some have shorter hats. Flat hats, round hats, right? Long coats, shorter coats, yeah, brim up, brim down, right? The white socks, all different styles. In Belz, apparently, I don't know if it's still true today, but in Belz, the practice was top button open, pant leg tucked into your socks. Tucked into, I guess, like the long white socks. Again, I'm not sure. I didn't get a chance to Google pictures of the current Belzer Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, that's how they did it in Belz. This chassid had left the community for a little bit of time and comes back. And he comes to Rabbi Yisachar Dov of Belz, the third Belzer Rebbe. And he's standing there, and the Belzer Rebbe takes a look at him, and he's shaking his head. He says, that's not how we dress here. Now, he didn't come back with, like, you know, jeans and a Grateful Dead t-shirt and a ponytail. He came back with the top button closed and his pant leg out. Instead of top button open and pant leg tucked in. Right? Okay. You know, Hasidic rebels. Okay. So, the Rebbe says to him, I know you think it's just like a minhag, that's what we do here, and it's not a big deal, but you should know that all the minhagim of Klal Yisrael are based on holy things. There's a reason we dress the way that we dress. So he says, Rebbe, I don't understand, why do we dress that way? So Rebbe said, I'll tell you. He said, we wear the top button open, so that way, when the Rebbe gives over Torah, you can pour it right in. It's like a funnel, it goes right in. And we close off the bottom, we tuck the pant leg into the sock, so that the Torah doesn't pour out the bottom. He said, but by you, it's just the opposite. Even if I could squeeze some words of Musar into you, if I could squeeze it through your closed top button, it's going to fall right out the bottom. So he says, there's a reason we have the Armin Hagen. There's a reason we dress the way that we do. And I think that's really the pshat why we pierced the right ear. Right? Again, the question was, maybe you should pierce the left ear. The left ear heard first. The answer is, it's not easy to hear the Dvar Hashem. Right? But in one ear, out the other. It's hard to keep it in. Right? To get it in through the left is not the problem. To make sure that it doesn't just pass over my brain and go out the other side is the problem. Right? And that's what the Katzer Rebbe was saying. How much of Shas went through you? You went through all of Shas. That's very nice. But how much of Shas went through you? And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us, pierce the right ear that had the opportunity to keep it in, and so to speak, let it slip out. We went on a family trip a couple years ago to Philadelphia, which is where I grew up. Spent a little bit of time there. And we were in the car. It was after a long family trip, and you can imagine, you know, how that gets with children in the car. So one of our daughters, I won't say who, wasn't exactly listening to her mommy. So mommy said, we have to get your ears checked. Are you not able to hear me? So she says, Mommy, it's not that I can't hear you. She says, my hearing is fine. It's my listening that's not working. My hearing is fine. I thought that was very creative. My hearing is fine. My listening is not working. Right? Hearing is not the problem. Getting it in the left ear is not the problem. Keeping it in, that it stays in our brain, kasher tokum ben ha-sefer, techapis basher lamadata, says the Ramban. Think about what you learned and try to lock it in. A little later in Parshas Mishpatim, it describes Moshe Rabbeinu standing at Har Sinai. One of my favorite varts of all time is in Parshas Mishpatim. The Pasuk says, Alei alai ha-hara, come up the mountain. Moshe is told, come up the mountain, v'hayesham, and be there. Which leads to a very obvious question. If I'm up the mountain, then I'm there. So the Divrei Yisrael, the Majid Tzerebi, says it's a vart in mindfulness. Because sometimes you could be somewhere and you're not really there. You're there in body, but you're not there in spirit. Your mind is out the window. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, when you come up the mountain, make sure you shut your cell phone. Right? When you come up the mountain, Alei Alei Ahara, come up the mountain, Veheyesham, and be present. Because you could be standing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your mind could be somewhere else. That's usually the part that I like to tell on that pasuk. But based on what we're explaining, I think you could say it a little differently. Alei Alei Ahara, come up the mountain. How many times in life do we climb mountains? We work hard to get somewhere, right? We push ourselves to come to this shir right now at 8:41 on a Thursday night. And there's a lot of other responsibilities, and I appreciate so much that people come. Right? But Alei Alei Ahara, you bothered to climb the mountain, so Vahayesham, maybe stay there a little bit. Or if you have to leave, at least Vahayesham, take it with you. Right? Make sure it stays with you. That's the Vahayesham. Because even Moshe Rabbeinu's experience on Har Sinai can dissipate so quickly. The Hasra can wear off so quickly. You can forget in a second, Ati Yadati Avim, right now I know that you're God-fearing, but a second later, there's no guarantees. That's how quickly we change as human beings. What was the second part of the Rashi? The second part of the Rashi is, why do we pierce his ear? Because the ear that heard that you're supposed to listen to Hashem and not listen to anyone else, the ear that heard, don't steal, the ear that heard you're supposed to be an Eved to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not anyone else, failed to listen, so therefore the ear has to be penalized. I want to read you a small piece from the Tzvi Pesach Frank, one of the great Gedolei Yerushalayim of the previous generation, in a small volume called Shvivei Or, the name of the Sefer. In the 10th parak on page 140, here's what he writes. Because Kabbalah's Torah is still taking place today. As Jews, we believe that every single moment of every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the Torah. He quotes the pasuk in Parshas Ve'eschanan. L'gabei mayim et Har Sinai namar kol gadol v'lo yasaf. The voice of Hashem at Har Sinai was a booming voice, v'lo yasaf. How do you translate the word yasaf? Yud samach pei, yasaf. Targum translates it, mafarish the Targum, v'lo yasaf, v'lo pasak. A booming voice that never stopped. Which means that if you're still listening in the world today, you can still hear Hashem talking to you. A baskol goes out every day from Har Chorev and says, and talks to Klal Yisrael. There's two different chazals. One baskol says, do tshuva. One baskol says, you're disgracing Torah, you should be more committed to Torah. Right? And we don't hear it, because we're not listening. But the voice of Hashem is still ringing in the world, v'lo yasaf, v'lo pasak. It never stopped. Hakavana hi, sha'akol shenera b'sinai eino nifsach. The voice of Hashem at Har Sinai never stopped. V'tzarach she'ekol zeh nishma tamid. You have to always be listening. And how do I listen? Belibo. Belibo shalatam. U'vechol yom yu be'inav kechadashim. Like Chazal say, on the words, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, I have to treat every day as if I just got the Torah today. Okay. And therefore, a person needs to accustom himself to listen to the Dvar Hashem. But says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, aval im lo nizhar b'mitzvah zeh. But if you're not careful to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're not constantly listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're not living your life as if I just got the Torah now for the first time, Zeh yorasha kol nishar b'sinai v'lo lokach es kol imo l'tamid. But if I don't listen now, it's as if I said that voice of Hashem was left at Har Sinai. We didn't bring it to Tinek in 2017. We left it at Har Sinai. At the kol gadol, it was once a kol gadol, right? But not v'lo yasaf. It did stop. We left it at Har Sinai. V'zeu shenemar. So listen how Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank reads the Rashi. We pierce the ear of who? Of this Eved Ivri. Why? Says Rashi, Shenemar, Ozen Zos Sheshama Bahar Sinai. It says, this person who heard at Har Sinai, the Hainu Rak B'Sinai Shama. We're saying to this Eved Ivri, you only heard Hashem say, don't steal at Har Sinai, but afterwards you forgot to listen to that. You heard at Har Sinai, you heard it with your own ears. Be a servant to Hashem, avadai heim below avadim la'avadim, not to be an eved to someone else, right? Ozen sheshama bar Sinai, the ear that only heard at Har Sinai, and then stopped listening. Dahainu rak b'sinai shama, u'misham ve'eilach shuv eino shomei asakol, v'hu nishkach mimenu, he's forgotten it. Lachain, we pierce his ear. Because a Jew has to be constantly being mechazik himself to take the lessons with you. Because otherwise it just passes right over you. And the voice of Hashem is left at Har Sinai. And everything you spent all that time putting into learning that sefer, whether it's a pasuk in Chumash, whether it's halach in Shulchan Aruch, you have to ask yourself, great, now how do I live that? How do I apply that to my life? When the Aron comes back from the Plishtim in Sefer Shmuel, very tragic moment. Imagine what it's like to have the Aron Hashem was captured, and finally the Plishtim realize this is not working out for us. We've got to get rid of this thing. It's causing wreaking a lot of havoc on the Plishtim. And they send the Aron back to Beit Shemesh. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Vav. And what happens? The Aron arrived. Now imagine, people are out in their field, a day at work, a regular day, and all of a sudden they look up, and what do they see? The Aron. Can you imagine what that's like? The Aron Hashem that was captured by those Rasham, by the Plishtim. A terrifying moment. And they look up, again, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Vav, this is Pasuk Yud Gimel, Uves shemesh kotzrim ketzir chitim ba'emek. They're in the middle of harvesting. It was harvesting season. Vayisu eseinayim. Imagine. They didn't know it was coming. They look up all of a sudden. What do they see? Vayiru es ha'aron. And they see the Aron Hashem coming back to Klal Yisrael. Vayismachu liros. And you can imagine how overjoyed they were. They were so happy. You read a couple of psukim later, and you have one of the greatest tragedies maybe in history. I'm saying, if we look up just by the numbers, we have a churban that takes place five psukim later. Pasuk Yotes, V'yach ba'anshe Beis Shemesh, ki ro ba'aron Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck down the people of Beis Shemesh because ki ro'u ba'aron Hashem. I looked at Art School today. I want to see how Art School translated. Art School said, because they glanced inappropriately at the Aron Hashem. Right? What does it mean? They like opened the cover, they looked inside. What exactly happened here? They saw the Aron Hashem. Yeah. Vayach ba'am shivim ish, chamishim elef ish. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu struck down, can you imagine? A national day of mourning. They just got the Aron back from the Plishtim. Something went wrong, I have no idea what. Ki ro ba'aron Hashem. And the people were struck down. 70 people, 50,000 people. Different pshatim in Chazal, in the Mefarshim, 70 people as great as 50,000 people. Right? 50,000 people as great as the 70 who are on Moshe's base. I mean, this is scary. Even if it's 70 people, it's a big deal. All the more so if it's 50,000 and 70 people, or 50,000 people as great as the 70 greatest people maybe of all time. V'yis'ab l'ham. And what five psukim earlier was, v'yismachu liros, they were rejoicing to see it. Five psukim later, everyone's sitting shiva. Ki hika Hashem ba'am maka gedola. Because Hashem struck them down in a very heavy way. What happened here? What went wrong? What did they do? They looked at the Aron. They were happy to see the Aron coming back. What was inappropriate? They inappropriately gazed at the Aron. What does that mean? So if you look in the Radak, and you look in the Ralbag, and I have the Ralbag here, I'll read you the Ralbag. The Ralbag says, you know what happened? Listen to this. Hashem Yisbarach, V'yach Hashem Yisbarach Ba'anshe Beis Shemesh. Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck down the people of Beis Shemesh. What happened? Says the Ralbag, Ki Ra'u Ba'aron Hashem. They looked up and they saw the Aron coming, but the Pasuk says that they went back to their harvesting. They look up, they see the Aron, and they smile. They say, wow, gevaldik. That's so nice that the Aron's back. Right? And then they went back to checking their email. Then they went back to harvesting their crops. How do you experience the Aron coming back from the hands of the Plishtim and just go back to work the next day like a regular person? But we know this is the reality. Klal Yisrael on Motzei Yom Kippur, after a day of the utmost cleansing, 2 seconds after Yom Kippur is over, right? 2 seconds because we're rushing through Maariv on Motzei Yom Kippur to eat bagels. 2 seconds later, we're clapping Slach Lanu, Machal Lanu. We just got kapar. There's a lot of answers to that question. But one answer is, it's a reminder, look how fast we could fall. 2 seconds ago, my entire existence was Hashem Hu Elokim, and now my existence is donuts and bagels and coffee. And a glass of cold orange juice. So says the Ralbag, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's a terrible avla. You look up, you see the Aron. You experience the Aron and you go back to work. And you're the same guy, the same person 2 seconds later. That's a very terrible thing. And again, that's what the Ramban is trying to tell his son. We're giving you a lot of really nice ideas. My letter is a very simple letter, but you have to apply it. Its simplicity is it's godless. One of the reasons I wanted to have this series on Igaras Ramban is because I imagine everyone in the room has seen the Igaras Ramban before. We've read the ideas. We might even remember what he wrote there. Right? But to live the Igaras Ramban, that's his whole point of his life. Hashar tokum min ha-sefer. Whatever you finish learning, you get up and you try to apply it. Ramban's not saying big chidushim. The Ramchal, the author of the Mesilas Yesharim, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato, in the 1700s, wasn't saying big chidushim. You know how I know? Because he writes it in the introduction. He says, I'm not writing anything new in my book. You know everything. Your Jewish neshama knows and has been programmed with every single thing you're going to find in my book. The reason I wrote this book is because I want you to review it, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to do it. The fact that you know it is very nice, but I want you to apply it to your life. Pirkei Avos. Yeah, how many times have we just like gone through Pirkei Avos? Right? But if we would actually pick one Mishnah and work on it, it's a big deal. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Shmona Prakim, which is the introduction to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam says, you know, I am writing this whole Arichas. Who needs a Perish of Pirkei Avos? It's the easiest, right? I need a Perish on Mesachas Kinim. I need a Perish on Mesachas Uksin. I need a commentary on Mesachas Tmura. Right? I need a commentary on Maestros. I don't need a commentary on Avos. I can figure this out. This is like as easy as it gets. And the Rambam says, Shmona Prakim, writing an introduction to Pirkei Avos. You know why? Ulaharech baktsas arichus. Mibnei shehi afal pi shetira mivu eres kala. Even though it seems so easy to translate, and it is, lahavin, right, to understand the words, it's kala lahavin, it's easy to understand. But to do it, he says, Enokala kol b'nei adam. To do Pirkei Avos, he says, I know it's easy. The ideas of Pirkei Avos are easy to comprehend. But to apply them to your life, that's not so pashut. So to try to internalize it, the Ramban says, you have to try to pause for a second and ask yourself, what did I learn from this? What was the point? I went to this year because I'm a Jew and Jews are supposed to learn Torah. That's Gevaldik. But what did I get out of it? What am I going to do tomorrow differently because of what I learned today? So let's learn one Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which maybe can be a technique. We'll learn this easy Masechta called Pirkei Avos that the Rambam is saying is so easy, but we need to stop and think about it. Let's learn something in Pirkei Avos. In the second parak of Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Talmidim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Talmidim, they each said beautiful things. I don't even want to talk about what they said. I want to talk about the characteristic of the first Talmud mentioned, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. It says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five students. The first one is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. And what was the greatness of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus? Hu hayamona shivchan. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sang the praises of his Talmidim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus bor sid she'eno ma'abed tipa. He's like a well or a cistern, right? That has been coated in some type of plaster, so that it doesn't lose a drop of water. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus absorbs the things that he learns. Now you can look at Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. You can say, okay, yeah, I know people like that. They're called people who have photographic memories. He doesn't lose anything because he's really smart, because he has a good memory. He remembers things. So why is that a praise of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus? He's that kid in class. Whatever you tell him, he soaks it up like a sponge. That's good. We're happy for him. But why is that a praise of him? He was born with a good memory. That's what the Chafetz Chaim asks in the footnotes in the Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah and Parsha Shlach. But I want to give you a similar approach that's found in the writings of Rav Pam in the Sefer HaTorah LeMelech from Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam on page 17. I want to read you a couple lines from Rav Pam. And I think it'll be a technique for us to try to absorb our learning. Because it's not only like the Ramban says that at the moment you get out of your seat, you have to ask yourself, okay, well, what did I get out of that? What was the point of that? It's also the way that I sit when I'm learning. Says Rav Pam, he's talking about Lech Lecha. I'll skip the context for the moment. I'll just tell you what he says. Sod hazikaron, the secret of memory, says Rav Pam, hu gam kein toloi beroshim sheosa yediya al halev. It's dependent upon what degree a person has absorbed, has taken to heart, that which he's learning. Because we remember the things that are meaningful to us. If it's important to us, if we care about it, if we're excited about it, if we're energized by it, so then it sticks. Kefi godel hasimcha, kein tokef haroshim al hazikaron. In accordance with the depth and the greatness of the joy, will be the strength of the imprint that it makes upon a person's soul. Gidolei Torah zochim yoser. Why do Jews who have unbelievable Torah wisdom? Not all of them are blessed with brilliant memories. Some of them are, but not all of them are blessed with brilliant memories. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wouldn't tell us that Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus happens to have been born with a photographic memory. That's not a praise of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. That's a bracha. He was born with a good memory. Says the Chavetz Chaim, says Rav Pam, it's the same Yisod, that Gedolei Torah, many of them, remember things because they're excited about it. Because they're looking to let that thing leave a mark on them. And he quotes a different line in Pirkei Avos. Anyone whose fear of God precedes his wisdom, then his wisdom will remain. What does that mean? Because if I'm God-fearing, in that moment that I'm God-fearing, ati adati, now I know, ki yirei Elokim ata. If I'm a God-fearing person, if I feel that I'm living in the presence of Hashem, if the Torah that I learn matters, if I'm closing that right ear, and I'm tucking my pant leg into my sock, if that's my minug, if I'm a Belzer chassid, but whatever it's going to take to keep the Torah in, yeah, that's what you do. I don't see, that's not what you do. Maybe you're going to start doing that. So if I try to lock the Torah into my life, yeah, if I care about it, if my yiras chet makes me want to remember the Torah, then it leaves a mark on my neshama, v'lo yimcha mizichrono, and it sticks in my mind. It's going to remain. So it's not only at the moment that I get up, I have to make a cheshbon and nefesh, what was the point of my learning? But at the time that I'm sitting and I sit down to learn, I'm sitting down with the intention, this is important to me, this is meaningful, I'm excited about this, I have a simcha, and that's going to make it that much easier to retain something when a person gets up and it's all said and done. But I want to just conclude, because sometimes we learn, and now you might say, well, you know, I went through Shas, but Shas didn't go through me, and we might feel bad about ourselves. We might feel that, what's the point of learning if I'm not going to retain all that much? So I want to just end on a positive note, that even for those times that we don't retain our learning, even those times when I sat and I learned and I heard a beautiful shiur on the importance of not speaking Lashon Hara, and then I got out, I walked outside, I got in my car, and I turned on my Bluetooth, and I started speaking Lashon Hara to someone. Right? And we've all been in a variation of that experience before. So I want to remind ourselves that the truth is, even when I learn Torah, and even when I don't make that cheshbon nefesh, and even when I don't actively work to hold on to something, the very fact that the Torah is going in one ear and going out the other, the fact that Torah passes over me, that's also a chashuv thing. It reminds me of the line in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says in a different context, Afal gav di'iu lo chazi, maz lechazi. Even though you didn't see it, but your mazel saw it. I mean, even though I didn't retain it, I didn't actively, my active mind, my I don't feel like I got anything out of it, but you did. You got something out of it. You may not realize what you got out of it, but you got something out of it. There was a Rebbe who taught in high school for many years, and he would teach, he would begin every morning by learning Mesilas Yesharim with his students. There was one particular student, a high school boy, who, like many high school boys, was not necessarily particularly inspired. It's a tough stage of life. And for the whole year, every morning, the Rebbe would teach Mesilas Yesharim, this kid would fall asleep. Or if he stayed awake, he would be spacing out. This young man goes to Eretz Yisrael for a year, and he comes back, he's very inspired, his shirt's finally tucked in for the first time in his life, sits out, you know, the whole drill. And he comes back to visit his high school, you know, because he wants to show the freshmen how firm he got. So he comes back to his high school, and he sees his Rebbe from 12th grade. He says, "Ah, Rebbe, it's so good to see you." And he says, "Ah, wow, looks like you really grew this year, at least you grew your payas or something, you grew something. Right? Okay, wow, you look great." So he says to him, "Rebbe," so Rebbe says, "No, tell me about your experience, like, what are you learning?" He said, "Rebbe, there's a sefer, you've got to get this book." Rebbe says, "Oh yeah, what's it called?" So he says, "Mesilas Yesharim, it's life-changing." Right? Now the Rebbe was a nice guy, he didn't say anything. But the Rebbe's thinking to himself, every single morning of your 12th grade high school experience, we started every single morning by learning the words of the Ramchal. Right? But I think the pshat is that the Rebbe should feel good about himself. Because you know why that kid fell in love with the Mesilas Yesharim and Eretz Yisrael? It's because the Rebbe was pumping it through his ears even when he was half asleep on his desk. The Stuchina Rebbe at his chabur a couple weeks ago, which I had the schuss to listen to, the Stuchina Rebbe, there was a young fellow who was there. Someone who, he came along because he wanted to see what a tzaddik looks like when he tells over Torah. But the Rebbe says to him halfway through, and the Rebbe's very nice, he wasn't making fun of him. He says to him, we'll call him Yankel. He says, "Yankel, you understanding the shir?" Now, I wasn't there, I was just listening to the recording. He says, "Yankel, you understanding the shir?" So I guess Yankel nodded along. So Rebbe says, "Yeah, I don't think so." He says, "But it's okay, I want you to know. Because coming to the shir and realizing that you don't understand things is also very chashuv." And then like a half hour later in the shir, he said, "Put your head down, rest a little. I can see that you're tired. It's okay, you're not going to insult me. Put your head down." He says, "When chassidim come to my tish," he says, "chassidim, they always fall asleep." He says, "But it's compared to a person who gets on a train and falls asleep. When you get on the train and fall asleep, when you wake up, you got to where you need to be. So you come to the tish, and the Rebbe speaks Torah, and the chassidim are passed out, right? And by the end, the chassidim wake up and says, shkoyach, shkoyach, but you got somewhere. The Torah passed over you, and it changed you. It got you somewhere. That Rebbe who spent all that time pumping Mesilas Yesharim into that kid, eventually it made a roshan. And that's something that's important for us to realize. Coming to the end of Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, the Tzvila Tzadik, Rebbe Abluzhov, the Tzvila Tzadik says that Mar Cheshvan, the letters of Mar Cheshvan, can be rearranged to spell Roshem Nun Ches. Roshem Nun Ches. Different ways to calculate which of the days of the Yamim Noram. Right? You can count, if you count Elul and you count through Sukkot, you can get 58 days. The Bar Cheshvan is when we recognize the Roshem, the imprint of the Nun Ches, of the 58 days that we experienced. And maybe as we come into Chodesh Kislev, maybe you could say a little differently, Roshem Nun Ches stands for the Roshem of the Ner Chanukah. We already see the imprint. The Ner Chanukah, which is oil, which stains so deep and leaves a mark on a person's life. But a Jew has to realize that even if I'm sitting in a shir, and even if I'm falling asleep, that's also a good thing. And we shouldn't become, God forbid, despondent when we hear these words of the Ramban, that I have to always try to take something with me. Halavai, we should. That's the ideal way to be. But even if we only have the Torah pass in and over us, that's also a chashur thing. So Amir Tzashem, it was a schuss to learn the Igaros Ramban with everyone. Next week, I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael, and the week after that's Thanksgiving, so I think we'll be off the next 2 weeks. Amir Tzashem, after that, we'll start a new series. But halavai, we should be mekayim the words of the Ramban. To once a week to take out this letter, to read it, to try to think about it, and to try to apply it to our lives, and Amir Tashem will be very fine Jews and give a lot of nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good Shabbos.